Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we meditate on your last 24 hours of your Son's life here on earth before he was crucified for our sins, we pray, Lord, that you would show us how we can show the world a different way of thinking. Lord, we pray that we would see your vision of greatness and not our own. The one that happened when you came down and humbled yourself to the death of the cross. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue in John chapter 13, and I want to remind you the context, Jesus is hours away from being crucified. He's celebrating the Passover with his disciples. And instead of enjoying the feast and being humbled at the fact that they've been freed from slavery as Jews, which is what the Passover was about, the disciples, it says in Luke chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, it talks about they were arguing about who was the greatest. And by great, they didn't mean what Jesus meant. By great, they meant who's going to be sitting at the throne. Remember that they've had different things in the Gospels where Peter and James's mom came, James and John's mom came and said, I have a request. Can one of my sons sit at your right hand and one of them sit at the left? You know, just a little request. Just enthrone my sons forever on the heavenly throne, one at your right and one of your left. I'm mama, and mama needs this, you know. It just makes it feel, you know. You've seen the bumper stickers, you know, the ones, you know, my child is an honor student at so-and-so school. And I love the one in Facebook that they had where there was the neighbors on the camel, and they had camels. And one said, you know, my son's an honor student. And then there was Mary's, my child is the son of God. And there comes Mary and Joseph. You know, how do you beat that one? Where do you get the bumper sticker made? But worldly, Christ says, he talks about it later in this, the conversation happens later in the book of Luke. But they're all talking about who's the greatest, and they're all eating with muddy feet. And there's a basin there of water, and there's a towel, and everybody was supposed to have their feet washed when they came in, and they're lying down, and their smelly feet are sticking out behind them because they lay down when they ate. And Jesus gets up, we saw last week, and without a word, he comes, he grabs the water, and he starts washing feet. Now, remember, this is the Son of God. This is the one who created the universe. And I want you to think of the great leaders, even in the world today, who give a lot. A lot of times they let you know how much they give and how much great stuff they've done. I did this, I did that, I did the other. And Jesus doesn't say a thing. Jesus simply gets up and does what needs to be done. And as he's going around and washing the feet, he comes to Peter. And as we read there in John chapter 13, he comes along and he's washing the feet. And there's Peter. And it says this. It says he came to Peter, verse 6, and Peter said, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will after this. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. See, now here's the trouble with humility. Humility and pride are often very, very hard to grasp concepts. Because Peter was now trying to act humbler than Jesus. And the way Peter was trying to act humbler than Jesus was by saying, "You're not going to wash my feet." Now, how should he have acted if he really wanted to show his humility? Get up, take the bowl from Jesus, put Jesus at his place at the table, and start washing his feet. Not say, "Oh, you're not going to wash mine," because who's looking? What's that doing right there? Who's it putting the spotlight on? Peter. "I'm so proud, I'm humble. You're not going to wash my feet. Look, I'm so low. I'm telling everybody Jesus isn't going to wash my feet. None of you other disciples did that. You all let him wash your feet. But me, I'm going to say," this is called, today they call this virtue signaling. "I'm more virtuous than you, James and John. Remember, we were talking about who's greatest. And now that Jesus is washing feet, I'm going to show him how great you are. I don't wash my feet." Humble pride. We really got to watch our motives very, very carefully. Because even in a humble sounding statement, the pride can just creep in. And Jesus wouldn't let it stand. He says, "If I don't wash you, you got no part in me." He says, "You don't understand this right now, but you will. Peter, lie back down and let me wash your feet. Because you just broke into my lesson, Peter. I'm trying to show you something. You'll understand in time." And there are a lot of things that the Lord is trying to teach us that we don't understand right now. Keep them in your heart. You know, all the way from the beginning of the Gospels, it said that Mary, for instance, treasured these things in her heart. She didn't understand them, but she treasured these things in her heart. You listen to things, you say, "I don't get it. I don't get it." Our temptation is to discard it. Think on it. Meditate on it. Mull over it. You will understand in due time, Jesus says. "Peter, right now, just let this be. Let me do it." You answer humble pride by saying, "Don't become the center of attention. Don't you make it about you. Don't make it about your feet. Make it about what I'm trying to show you, which you will understand when the lesson is through." So Peter answers and says, "No, you're not going to cleanse my feet." And Jesus says in verse 8, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And then Peter goes to the other extreme. See, this is so Peter. It's so much like, "Okay, then wash my feet, my head, all the rest of me. Here." I was like, "This is not the place to take all your clothes off, Peter, and let me dump a basin on you. Now wash all of me." And now Jesus has to do something else. And Jesus, as a good teacher, takes it as a separate teaching moment. And the thing about Jesus, what I love about Jesus, and what I love about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that no matter what is thrown in their path, they use it for good. Peter butts into Jesus' lesson. Jesus, as a good teacher and as the Son of God, takes it and he makes the lesson even deeper. So as we look in Scripture, if Peter had been humble and let him wash their feet, we never would have gotten the other lesson. So Jesus will even take your mistakes. Jesus will even take your foot and mouth times, mine especially, and he'll use them for further lessons. And that's the wonder of God. Because if he didn't, I would get very discouraged. You know, it's amazing how we make statements that later we'd go, how did I do that? And everybody gets on him. I was looking at a couple of the president's statements, and then some of the candidates. You know, everybody makes fun of Trump in his speaking, and now they're making fun of Biden too. So we'll be bipartisan here, you know, because both of them make some real whoppers, and so did Obama. And everybody makes fun of them and says, oh, they're idiots and they're dumb and they're all this. But I remember some that I've made. I remember once when I was a new pastor back in San Antonio and I had a church and I had prepared this wonderful message about the devil and the wiles of the devil. And I was talking about Satan and I was talking about Satan and I closed the sermon and I closed my eyes for the closing prayer. And I said, Satan, I was supposed to say, Lord. It doesn't look really good to pray to Satan at the end of your sermon. You know, and I'm like, did that just come out of my mouth? You know, we make these things, we put stuff in, and you know, the Lord used it in my life and in others, you know, but I wish I could. Isn't it sometimes you wish life had a rewind button? You know, the word comes out of your mouth and you hurt somebody. Don't you wish you could just delete? But Peter has a fast forward button and it comes out of his mouth. No, take off this, wash the whole bit. Peter, that wasn't part of my lesson. But see, the thing is, God uses those things even. What's the Bible say, Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to those that love God. And Peter loved God. So Jesus starts a new lesson here. And it has to do with the humility, but it goes deeper than that. Jesus says in verse 10, and Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. So now Jesus turns this into a gospel lesson. He was talking about humility in general, but now he's talking very much about that special humility which made Jesus the giver of the gospel. See, Jesus is saying to Peter, I already washed you. The gospel is this. We've been bathed. We've been cleansed by faith. Jesus is going to die on the cross. And I want you to notice he says you're all clean even before the cross because it was as sure as done. But Jesus is saying, Peter, you've already been bathed. Your body is squeaky clean. It's covered with the blood. It's washed. You don't have any dirt on you. So I don't have to do that again. I don't have to cleanse your whole body now because it's been done. You've had your shower. Now I want you to remember too that in those days, baths were not a common occurrence like they are today. And still in many countries of the world, if a person takes a shower a week or a bath a week, they're doing well. And the poor often take it much less. So the when you're talking about cleansing, that cleansing lasted. Now for us, that cleansing lasts our whole life. We're saved by grace through faith. What does Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 say? Not of our works, lest any man should do what? Boast. See, this is where the humility comes in. We are saved, we are cleansed, we're bathed by Christ through his death on the cross so that we have no pride. We can't boast. But the initial bath is you're cleansed by faith. John has already said that many, many times in his gospel. Jesus has said it all the way from John 3:16 through all the way back to John 1:12, John 6, all these other verses where he talks about the fact that if you believe, you have everlasting life. And now he's saying, you don't need me to take your clothes off and dump this whole basin on you. Peter, you are clean, but you need to wash your feet. See, because when you get up in the morning and you bathe, especially if you've got open shoes, and you're walking down the dusty road, you're still clean, but as you walk and you step in the mud and you get in the dust and you get in all these things, your feet get dirty. And then you need, when you come into a house like this was and have a party and everything, you're supposed to wash your feet. And, or have your feet washed is this case. And that's true in our life too, you know, because every one of us has been, if we trusted Christ as our Savior, we are saved. We're secure, we'll be in heaven, we'll be with God, we'll be with Jesus. But every day you walk in your spiritual life, and you know what happens? Your feet get dirty. Because you sin, and I sin. We are cross at our wives, or we misjudge someone, or we're proud, or we're all these little things that happen during the day. And a lot of people think, like Peter was, well, then you know what I need to do? I need to get saved again. I need another bath. Jesus is saying, no, you don't need another bath. You just need to clean your feet. How do you clean your feet? John, alongside this gospel, wrote a little letter, 1 John, and in chapter 1, verse 9, he says how we keep our feet clean. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to what? What's the, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're not talking salvation here. We're talking walk. You walk along and you step in it. You need your feet cleansed. You come to Jesus and say, my feet are dirty. And I can't take it off. This is spiritual dirt. And he says you confess your sins. What does confess mean? It means you look at that sin the same way Jesus does. You say the same thing about that sin. You don't try and whitewash it. You don't try and say, well, no, my feet are, you know, they could use a little cleaning, but they're not that bad. You confess it. You look at that sin the same way God does. You bring it to him and say, Jesus, my feet, they're horrible. I really got them dirty. And Jesus, in the humility of the cross, cleanses your feet, your walk. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And see, the thing about it is, it's all about him. You have no more pride, no more boasting in the fact that your walk is clean than you do in the fact that your salvation is secure. It's about Jesus' humility. He humbled himself, it says, Philippians chapter 2, to the death of the cross. To cleanse both your body, your initial salvation, and your feet. So he tells Peter, he says, no, I just need to wash your feet right now. Because you're clean. But, he says, not all of you. Not all of you. The end of verse 10. Because in the room it says, there in verse 11, he says, he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. So there's the opposite situation here, isn't there? Here's a guy whose feet were now clean, but his body's dirty. Judas was like one of the 12. Everything they did, he did. He preached the gospel. He healed. He did miracles. You know, there was nobody but Jesus knew who Judas really was. Or they wouldn't have asked, is it I, during the time when they're talking about his betrayal. Judas was a slick dude. Judas was a character that made everything look like, I'm one of you, I'm doing the right thing, I'm humble. And he was, when they went out and cast out demons, Judas cast out demons. When they were healing, Judas healed. You know, he wasn't like the scene in Mary Poppins, and I've mentioned this before when I talk about it. You know what I mean? The old Mary Poppins, not the new one, where the Mary Poppins showed the two kids how to clean their toy box with, but the boy couldn't snap his fingers. So the girl's going around and she's doing this and everything's straightening itself up in the room as they're singing just a spoonful of sugar, you know. And the boy's going, and nothing happens because he can't snap it. Judas wasn't like that. Judas would lay hands on, the people would recover, because the power wasn't from Judas. The power was from God. And if God can make a donkey talk, God can make a demonic man heal. So nobody suspected Judas. Everybody thought he was one of them. So he was walking the walk, but he had never believed in Jesus as Savior. He's called the son of lostness, the son of perdition. And there are a lot of people out there that are looking, they look like they're believers. They're doing things, and nobody in their church knows. Nobody else knows. But God knows. Doesn't do any good to clean your feet if the rest of your body is covered with the mud of the horrible pit and the miry clay. Because you're not saved by works. You're not saved by your walk. You're not saved by the good things you do. You're not saved. He says, many will come to me in those days and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. So he says, he's telling Judas, he's giving Judas one last chance. As he's washing his betrayer's feet, Judas is the one who should have stood and say, Jesus, I need a whole bath. But Judas wouldn't do that. Jesus was being a slave to them because that's who usually the most low usually wash the feet. And Judas was about ready to go sell him for the price of a slave. So I have to ask two questions with this. One, have you been bathed? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know for sure that He's cleansed you from every sin, that because of that you are justified before Him and you will be in His presence when you die? If not, you need a bath. You need to come to Jesus and say, cleanse me, O God. Your blood has paid for my sins. I accept it. But the second thing is for those, and I think most of you here, from what I can tell, I know most of you, but then again, the disciples knew Judas too. So I don't know your heart, but if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, how's your walk? How are your feet? Have you let Jesus wash them? Have you come and said, here's the dirt, Jesus, here's the dirt. I accept that I can't boast even about fixing this. I confess my sin, and Jesus says, I'm faithful and I'm just to forgive it and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, this is how our Christian walk is to work. He goes on and he teaches that. He says, starting in, he goes back to his original lesson in verse 12. He says, when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So Jesus says, here's what we're going to do now. First, I am your Lord, Jesus said. I am God. And I came down and washed your feet. Now you were all arguing about who was great. If there's anyone who's great, it's me, Jesus said. And yet I quietly got up and washed your feet. Now, what most people would do from there is now that you've learned the lesson, you come and wash mine. He doesn't say that. He says, you wash one another's feet. And then, it's not given here in the Gospel of John, but he talks to him in Luke chapter 22, verse 26. He says, the world, he says, those around you want to be called big names. They want to be called benefactors. What's a benefactor? Someone who does you good. You know, it's amazing. These politicians, they want to be known as the one who did everybody good. That's how they want to be told, called. But he says, I'm saying to you, he who would be greatest among you, let him be your servant. He who is greatest among you, let him be the least. And do it quietly. Don't expect the title. In another place, Jesus says to those around him, he says, when you've done everything that's commanded, you say, I'm a what? An unprofitable servant. Because I've just done what was commanded. See, that's how we're to look at it. We're to say, you know, Jesus, you could do it better yourself, but you asked me to do it. I did it. I'm an unprofitable servant. Then Jesus will turn around and say, welcome into the joy of my Lord, thou what? Good and faithful servant. Let God do the exalting. You just do the quiet. But do. The greatest is the least. He says, blessed, in the last verse we're looking at, 17, if you know these things, blessed are you who what? Who do them. Nobody knows the Bible better than Satan, except God himself. He knows it in the original languages. He can quote it by memory. He doesn't have to read it out of his New King James. He knows the Bible better than any human being that has ever walked the earth. But he has no blessing because he doesn't do it. James chapter 1 talks about it. He says, be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Chapter 1, verse 25, he who looks into the law of liberty and does what it says will be blessed in all that he does. Now remember, we're not saved by doing. We're saved by cleansing from Jesus, but we will be blessed by doing. If we do in the spirit that Jesus calls us to do, and he will tell us in two chapters, without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing, John 15, 5. But we have him if we've been cleansed, and if we're walking in that cleansing, and we will be blessed if we do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be blessed. Lord, that we would be like Jesus was, imitating him. When everybody else around is fighting for positions of power and places of greatness, that we would quietly get up, grab the bowl and the towel, and wash the feet of those around us. That we would do the humble thing, the thing that nobody else saw fit to do because it was beneath them, not in their job description, but it needed doing, so you did it. And Lord, you said, as you did it to us, we don't need to do it back to you. You have everything you need. Your feet are always clean. But that we would do it to each other, even those around us that we dislike. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen.